You are listening to the Level Up Your Gaming Podcast, Episode 34, Bringing New Players into Your Games. Today we talk about adding new players to your gaming table. We talk about how to add an experienced player and how to add a complete newbie to the game you're running. We also talk about how to insert those players after the game has been running for a long time. If you'd like to participate in the discussion or leave us feedback, you can contact us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. If you like the content and want to hear more of the show, subscribe and ensure you don't miss an episode. New episodes come out almost every Wednesday. Also, please review, tell a friend about the podcast, or share with your gaming group. Now sit back and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Level Up Your Gaming Podcast. My name is Aaron, and still in Georgia, he's hospitable in every way, Jared.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Jared?
Not bad, not bad. Sun is bright. It's the weekend.
Sounds bright. You know,
I typically don't get weekends while I'm down here, but I'm trying to take, you know, it's funny. My boss is actually the one who's kind of like, dude, you need to start taking more time for yourself.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree as your friend.
He is quite literally, he goes, you know, they don't pay you to be 24 hours, right? And I was like, heard. It's good to have experienced mentors, when people mentor each other in business. It's something I haven't really experienced, which is funny because, like, in teaching, you're supposed to get a mentor teacher. it wasn't until business that I got, like, a mentor.
It's actually really interesting, though, because, I mean, you know when you have a good boss because they will tell you things like that. Like, you don't need to do this. They look out for the blind spots that you have in terms of how you're working. And but a bad boss will never tell you you're working too much. Okay, you're usually not working enough.
Yeah, no. He's like, I don't want you to come into the office on weekends. And I'm like, you do? And he goes, yeah, I'm the boss. So, and he's a very good mentor, and he's, you know, just reminded me of limitations. And he's like, I'm not here all weekend. You stay for like 8 hours. I stay for like 2 or 3. So, but he also has a whole country to look after. So I have a couple of states. So what's the topic today?
Today we are going to be talking about bringing your players into a game midway into your game. And I thought about this topic last week. So one of the things that I have been doing to level up my gaming and also to level up my experience with different games is I joined a fifth ed game for D&D just to be able to speak a little bit more to it from a player perspective and kind of see how GMs are kind of doing things within fifth ed. Because I know that our podcast is a heavier focus on World of Darkness, which is what I do. But this is the second fifth ed game that I have jumped into midway into a game. And it is hard as a player, I will say, when you first jump in to feel incorporated into a game that you had not been part of when you started. So if you don't know the background and the backstory, it's really, really hard, I found, from a player perspective. So I thought that we can give all of our GMs some tips out there on how to incorporate new players midway into your game and make sure they feel like they're part of the group and they're part of that story.
That's a great topic. That's a great topic because, it's a difficult journey because there's a lot to it. And as far as I can already kind of spout off, there are, from my experience, there are two categories. There are bringing in experienced players, and then there's bringing in both experienced and inexperienced. So rules that only apply to inexperienced players, and then rules that apply to both. Because your experienced players, they're, even though they might know the rule set, they are still coming into an environment. Like, Aaron, you're a perfect example. Mm. You know how to do dice rolls. You know how to look up stuff in books. You're bright. You don't have to like sit there and you're like, oh man, how the hell is this going to work? It's like, no, it's a +7 modifier. You roll the D20 and you add the +7 modifier and you're done. They might have to describe more specific rules to you, but the general, how do I hit? How do I keep from getting hit? are not very complicated, and especially in the D20 world, you know, it's not a very overbearing system unless you're involved in magic. Magic, I've always been like, I get five spells a day. Why do I get five spells a day? And they're like, yes, and you have figure spells before. I'm like, why? And they're like, because you got to study them. I'm like, can I bring the book with me? Like, Christ, like, give me some options here. I was a very, very bad, very bad wizard. And I think in the D20 game I played, I switched to a cleric pretty quickly because I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm very, very keen on the cleric class. Even though it's like a magic bearing class, but it's like, do I want heal or greater heal? Like, take the healing one. Like, I just want to heal. I want to be able to heal and produce light and maybe repel the undead. So, like, you know, even though there's like purify the ground, I'm probably not going to need that one. I'm going to need the heal. I'm going to need the little heal and the big heal. And that's what I'm going to need. But off that topic, what should I do with inexperienced players? Okay. So I'm just going to start off with what is required for an inexperienced player, because it's really one big thing. Is what I highly recommend is making sure that you have a game, a one-shot story or a two-shot story, you know, with that individual. Not with the larger group, maybe. You can maybe invite the larger group to a side one, but it is, you got to let the larger group know, this is about them learning how to roll dice. It is not about my storytelling capabilities. It is not about how to deliver the finest in storytelling and crafting and plot hooks and all that stuff. It is about, it is going to be a mash and bash that involves them rolling dice. I don't, honestly, I have thought about this once before because Brian and I, when we were in college, we just had one game with each other. It was a technocracy-based game, and Brian's character started branching out into specialized units, and he branched out into like their rapid response unit, and his character had to defeat an obstacle course. Obstacle courses are great for teaching people how to roll dice, because here's your climbing, here's your swimming, here's your jumping, here's your running. And, you know, I don't know, maybe they run up against a Sphinx, so they have to figure out how to talk to the Sphinx. I don't know. Social is a little bit harder in an obstacle course, but it does give you all of your, so please feel free, take that away. Iowa, Aaron, do we have any listeners in Iowa yet?
I don't see any listeners in Iowa, but we got one in Australia now, so.
Okay, Australia, I'm looking at you to take it off this continent, all right? Obstacle course for a brand new player. So obstacle courses are great, but you need at least one or two sessions to get them familiar with rolling dice, and just have them roll dice. I do mean, like, you might go, okay, well, I want them to learn how to role play. Yeah. Absolutely, but they better be rolling a lot of dice too, you know, because that's where people get so hung up. You know, telling them that it's improv acting is fine, it's easy. You know, when you're talking to me, I talk to you. That's how it works. Okay, what actions can I take without rolling? Okay, but here's how you roll dice, because I've seen it 100 times where they're sitting around counting. I'm like, oh God, I don't know what to roll. And it's like, throwing a punch is, you know, D20 plus your melee, right there, bam, just roll it. I'm going to have you punch this guy 5 times, obstacle course, dojo style, you know? You're going to punch this mannequin 10 times, see how many times he hit it. But a specialized, and then maybe you want to go over, but you want to make sure that you're covering the rules. You know, please make sure that you're covering how to engage socially, that they don't have to, role for everything social. You know, it can just be a conversation. I found this when I tried to get my wife to do a game with me. She said, actually, it wasn't me trying. She wanted to do a game with me. She didn't know the rule of you can't just make up what's in your pockets. She was like, I take my cell phone out. I'm like, you don't have a cell phone. The game was set in like the 1970s. I was like, you don't have a cell phone. There aren't no cell phones. She was like, but it was a spy game. And she was like, the CIA had cell phones in the 70s. I'm like, but you don't have one. And she was like, why not? And I was like, oh, God. You can't just make up equipment on the spot. We have to discuss what equipment you get. So she was learning. She was really learning. And I failed to mention that rule. So, you know, you got to mention how equipment is selected and what they can carry and what they can't carry. And that you can't just walk around in the world with, like, a head. You know, just like, oh, I want my lantern to be a head. Like, that's not going to work. And here are the reasons why it won't. Don't just say it's not going to work. You got it. They're inexperienced. They don't know why it won't work.
You're effectively teaching them the game.
You are. And you know, maybe we can do a whole podcast about how to get completely inexperienced players. We can hear me fuddle with my wife trying to get her to play a game, trying to describe it to people who have no clue what I'm talking about. But so to move on from an inexperienced player, so there's a lot of background with that, to move to experienced players. I mean, both. Because inexperienced players and experienced players both need this kind of level of care. So most of the time when I've experienced new players coming to the game, it is a friend of a friend. Okay, it is one of your gaming group bringing in one of their friends. It is one of your gaming group bringing in one of their coworkers. So first thing you need to do is establish how much level of care I need to provide. Do I need to teach them all the rules, or do they already know? So is it a Dungeons and Dragons player who does not know White Wolf but gets the concept of it? Or is it somebody who played White Wolf at least twice? You know, they played it twice at Gen Con, and then they haven't played it since, but they remember how to roll dice and stuff. So you need to determine that. When considering, the first thing that you always have to do when there's the potential of a new player joining is determine whether or not the group is ready for a new player. Because if you've got your one shy friend who's really just not cool with new people, maybe they have social anxiety, you need to be like, hey, we'd like to bring in a new player, you know, yada, yada. This person, kind of discuss with your group, because you don't want to just be like, hey, I brought Jim from work. He said he'd like to try this. Thanks for the heads up. And then the night's plans fall to poop. I'm working on my swear. So always make sure that there's a discussion beforehand with the current players. Is it the right time to bring someone into a story? Aaron and I are discussing bringing someone that I met at work who's a very experienced gamer. I brought it up to Aaron, and we're going to discuss it with Brian tonight. Me bringing this person in because his gaming group is just kind of falling apart, and he's a real good person, an experienced player, and he's a real cool guy. So you need to make sure that you know the level and the caliber. You got to make sure that they're a compatible person. If it's Jim who you've got a real serious group, you've got a group like ours where we like to do really in-depth investigations. We like to have emotional scenes that really raise up the level of our gaming. We do that sort of stuff, and you're like, oh no, Jim just wants to play a game where he can run around and bang chicks. Not the game for Jim. There are other gaming groups that do that. Compatibility is a huge thing, and it really is. I can't stress this enough, because I watch a YouTube channel. I don't know the name of the channel. All I know is it involves a crab. The narrator is always a crab. I don't know why. But he had brought up several sessions where they pretty much do a comic store group. And he reads from people who submit their stuff about, their horror stories of role-playing. And, they're talking about a brand new storyteller who's essentially fixated on a sexual assault. He was fixated on it and essentially made a game that surrounded sexual assault, and there were female players. Compatibility. It's important. We want to say, we're all inclusive. Everyone can join. Sorry. A person who enjoys the thought of sexual assault and wants to get off in the game session will never be at my table. He can find another table where people like himself can enjoy that sort of thing, because I don't agree with it. So after that, you know, the person's compatible. You've maybe done a one shot or a two shot with them. Make sure that they feel included. Remember, your gaming group might consist of people who've known each other for, the DM Dojo people that, you know, we interviewed, they've known them, each other for over a decade, over two decades, I think. You know, Aaron and I have known each other for over two decades. We're friends. We're longtime friends. And when somebody new comes in, so let's say, you know, Aaron, for example, brings in a friend, or I bring in someone, a friend, that they know a little bit about this person, get meet and greet. It's just like you're welcoming somebody to a party that doesn't know anybody at the party. You got to make sure that your other friends are going to talk to this person and make them feel included. That's why I always say that you got to have a discussion ahead of time. You can't just spring on people, because they need to know that they're included and that they are now joining a group of friends. You know, I wish it was like when we were kids, where you just walk up and be like, he's my friend now. We're all going to be best friends now.
Like their zombie horde thing. We're like, you're now part of the horde.
You know, you don't want to creep them out by being like, this is a circle of blood. Let's take out a knife and join hands. You know, you can't do that. It's a little more complicated. We're adults. You know, it's bringing people into a friendship. You're starting to build a friendship. And you got to remember it. That's the foundation. You're not growing your gaming group. You're building another friend into a group of friendship. This person is going to be a friend.
Yeah.
So, what
I was going to say there is, I think that those are all really good points in terms of trying to get people to mesh into your group and bring people into your group as a whole. So, I mean, you do need to make sure that whoever you are going to bring into the game is going to be okay, you know, at the table. They're okay with the type of story you're telling. You know, obviously, we're not talking about the game that Jared just talked about there, but I mean, if you play a social heavy game, make sure that people are happy playing. They're going to be excited to play a social heavy game, because you want to make sure that, like you said, your groups are going to be compatible. And so the one shot thing there that Jared speaks of, not a bad thing to run, even if you're just going to give that player like a pre-gen character and let them, an experienced player, run through a game with you. To try to give them, like, to try to see how they game, how they work through problems, how they work through situations. So, you know, it's always a good idea to you know, just to make sure that your table does mesh together. And the other thing that you need to make sure that you do, and this is the troubled part that I've had, is it's not that the player, that the table is necessarily, you know, that we don't mesh together. The problem is that I come into the game and I have no background as to what the players are doing. And I'm sort of a motivation driven type player, where if I don't understand why we're doing what we're doing, I don't work well in that environment. I don't play well in that sandbox.
I'm a results oriented organization.
So when, you know, a GM explains to you what the background of the story is and you come in, you want to find a way to incorporate that character into the story sort of seamlessly. And that's, you know, maybe unless you have more to talk about, you know, bringing in a player into your table, that's the next direction I want to go to. So.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. But we can switch for a second. Cause I think that's an important train of thought, is giving them backstory and understanding. When I talk about backstory, here's the thing. A lot of GMs will be like, okay, they're going to come over at 7 o'clock and we are going to, with the rest of the group, and just like the rest of the group, we do 15 minutes of bullshit. And during that 15 minutes of bullshit, I'm going to explain the entire story. That doesn't work. Tried it, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, didn't work. You need to at least give them an organized, I'm not going to say presentation, but an organized discussion and briefing on what has been going on. This includes the world that they live in. Are there two warring nations? Is this a realm of vampires that, you know, and that's the nice thing about, like, some, you know, if you're running like Greyhawk, there's a whole book on the Greyhawk world. If you're running White Wolf, there's a whole book explaining the vampire politics, but they need to have that in advance. You can't give them 4 seconds to absorb the entire, werewolf mythos in World of Darkness or the entire Call of Cthulhu book. Try to get them as much information as early as possible so they can digest it. And again, this can be done during a one-shot game. It can be like, hey, why don't you just come over 2 hours early and I'll walk you through everything that's been going on, especially if you've got an experienced player. And if you're running Call of Cthulhu and Call of Cthulhu is something that they've played, yeah, it's still pivotal that they come over early so they understand where the investigation has been thus far. Might want to, give them a detailed explanation. I don't know why it took me, my brain farted on that one, but it did. So one of my things, so background and concept and understanding is huge when it comes down to that. The other thing that is huge and that Aaron brought up was how do you bring them into the game, literally the character into the game. And I thought about this before our podcast because Aaron and I discussed what we're going to talk about. Taking you behind the curtain.
Oh, really far behind the curtain. Oh, yeah. We have a little pre-production
thing. We have a pre-production thing. Welcome to Oz. So one of the things that I've pondered on and reflected was that, one, I come up with plans on how to bring my player in. Always, of course. But when you get to the table, maybe before even the table, discuss with your players how they intend to bring the other person in. You know, maybe they'll come up with a cool backstory. Welcome that collaborative effort. Because too many times I have seen the person jump into the middle of the story and I've seen really poor deployments. So one of my favorite examples was in the game that I ran with the storyteller, who was very, very poor, and for some odd reason I ran with them for years. You know, it was they have the object that you're seeking. Well, I was playing a bounty hunter in one of these games, and I was just like, I'm gonna fucking take it. You know, I'm a ruthless freaking Boba Fett Mandalorian bounty hunter. If they don't give it to me, I'm going to take it from their cold, dead fingers. Like, I'm just going to take it and walk. I don't want them joining my ship crew. Never just give them a MacGuffin and expect the MacGuffin to bring them in. And for those of you who don't remember what a MacGuffin is, it's a plot device that is the center or focal point of the story. So, for example, a gem that everyone's trying to get. Yeah. Don't just hand them the MacGuffin and say, well, you're going to welcome them into the group, or they have a single piece of information.
We had an awesome episode on should nots, and the MacGuffin was in the should nots. You should not rely upon a MacGuffin. It's also lazy storytelling. It's the same, and again, go back to episode one, The Gathering. This is effectively, you need to sort of gather another person into the amoeba of people that you've already gathered. Okay? So...
Yeah, so, just don't hand them the football, because here's the thing. You're going to have some players who are like, smear the queer, you know, and take them out. So you need to really put some depth and thought into it, not just I'm going to hand them the guff and they're going to provide it to the player and then we're going to switch storylines somehow. But instead, think of a really good plan to bring them in. What skill sets are they planning with their character? And that's why pre-prep is so important. Having this person design their character before jumping into game. One of my things that I would really encourage all storytellers to do, not only for your inexperienced players, but even for your experienced players, before they jump into a game, they come for a night, right? They come that 2 hours early, they get their whole briefing, and during that night, they create characters. Right? They're observing. They're welcome to laugh with the group, enjoy it, ask questions, because not only are they getting familiar with everyone involved, don't just be like, quick, make your character so you can get in the action. No, have them take time. Ask them questions as they're doing character development. Look and be like, what skills are you building? Oh, you're building an Olympic gymnast. Outstanding. So I have thought for next week, how the hell am I going to bring an Olympic gymnast into a group of bounty hunters? I don't know, but I got to figure it out. But you can also guide them like, that's not going to work out very well. It's just like the gathering. You got to have skills that are applicable, and you can guide them through it while they're getting to know other people. So really, when it comes down to it, they still have to create a character. And I've sat there for so many sessions where this very, I don't want to use the word poor, but lacking storyteller. He'd bring in all sorts of people in the middle of games. You know, just like, oh, hey, this one person we met at LARP last week is now joining our tabletop game. And it just, the two sessions max, because, you know, they'd be like, quick, rush, get your character in. And there would be no pre-prep, no planning. Poor planning leads to poor execution. And that's just the name of the game. And it's unfortunate that you kind of have to schedule this around a busy schedule, but you really do need to make sure that they're taking care to make characters that fit into that group, and that the group knows that they're bringing in a new character and that it is expected of them that they bring that character in. Because, you know, for example, that storyteller, didn't look at me and say, and you should have checked me. You should have checked me. When he was like, oh, this character has the MacGuffin. And I was like, well, I'm just going to shoot him and take it. He didn't check me. And he wasn't going, you know what, dude? This person is a new player. They want to join our group. And by killing their character in the first night, you're not exactly helping. In my defense, I was like 15 or 16.
Aaron, fair enough. Like, I mean, I was actually going to point that out. I mean, maybe we might be talking about the same storyteller. I joined a group of guys that you were gaming with back in college. I think it was your brother's friends.
Yep.
So I was brought into one of your, I think it was like the D20 version of Aberrant or something like that.
Yes.
And I made a character. I gave a little bit of motivation behind the character, and the way I was dropped into that game was so lazy. It was like, and this is to say that I'm gaming with people who have, you know, gamed longer than me at this point. And I've already passed the point. I would say that if your players evolve, there's going to come a point when your players should evolve beyond, I am doing something because the GM tells me to do it, and I am now doing this thing because I am playing in character. Okay, what you're trying to do as a GM, and this is a little tangent here, is you're always trying to get your players to go to the character route and lessen the player route, whereas, oh, that's Tom, and I work with Tom because Tom's a good friend of mine. No, it's got to be our characters work together because they are like-minded individuals, or they're trying to accomplish the same goal. And the problem is that I had gotten to that point where I'm playing in character, like, yeah, sure, I joined the group because I like the group of guys, and I'm here to play with the group of guys. But I'm not going to play nice in the sandbox, which is the role-playing game, if I have no motivation to go into the game. And that was a major miss on that GM's part, which was he brought me into the game and he was just like, oh, you just happen to be at the Rex space station that you're at, and these guys are about to take off and leave into space. And I'm like, okay, why am I going to go with these guys? And he couldn't give me an answer. And nobody on the team could give me an answer. Like, that was like the worst part of it. And it's like, okay, so is this where the fate of Aaron's character number 72 like ends because he doesn't go with the rest of them? Like, you know, how do you make that player feel incorporated? And I think Jared's hitting on a really good point, is you need to one, talk with your other players, see how you can bring them in, but two, you have to do some real thought process in your mind, like, maybe this player now offers a special set of skills the players need now, okay? And they hire this player, okay? And that forms the bond through the event, okay? You have to think of a way to incorporate that player, not just because they're another player sitting at the table and you go, well, you have a character and I've got a character and we work together. That's cheap. That's lazy. Okay. And so I know that there are going to be GMs that are out there listening to me, but it just is, as a player, that feels cheap and lazy. It doesn't feel special. It doesn't feel like you care at all about the character. It is just a piece of paper with dots on it or stats on it. Okay. And like, I spent the time and effort to make the character. The least you could do is spend a little bit of time and effort to incorporate me into the game. And I think that's what's really important and what you have to try to do.
It's just like doing a session zero. You know, you have to take care in it. And unfortunately, there are people out there that just, they don't take care in it. They just think they'll fly by the seat of their pants. And Aaron's right. Unfortunately, if we do have DMs, GMs, or storytellers that do that, it's a little lazy. And it's time to level up. Time to push yourself to the next level. Take it from our mistakes. Trust me, that player is probably sitting there going, oh my God.
Believe me, because that player comes in, and even if they're an experienced player, they lack motivation to get started. They don't know how the rest of these players who have been journeying, especially if you have a long campaign, okay? You have a long chronicle that's been running for a year and a half, okay? And now you want to introduce a new player. So even if they're leveled up appropriately, you know, to the rest of the players, their power scaled appropriately to the rest of the players, they've got the right equipment, all that stuff. So yeah, sure, the characters should fit, but that group is not a group of character sheets. That group is a group of people who have been playing their characters through a story, who have been through trials and tribulations to get to the point that they're at. And even if that's, you're incorporating somebody at night 6, you're incorporating somebody at night 70, okay, of gaming, you have to remember that it is incumbent upon you to make them become part of the adventuring group. Because those people already have a bond at night 6, and they definitely have a bond at night 7. Okay.
So, you know, to kind of bring things, you know, up to sort of a close, there's one thing that I'd like to talk about, which is player retention. So I have seen many people brought into a game, and they're brought in by a friend. And then 3 nights later, they're no longer there. Why? It's most likely a fumble on the bringing them in. But I have seen something that particularly that I get very focused on is the social aspect. When you are bringing in someone, you're bringing someone to, just as Aaron said, a group of friends who have a bond. It is incumbent upon you as the storyteller to formulate that bond. So one of the things that you will be required to do is inform them that if their friend, so Aaron brings Jim, if Aaron can't make it, Jim still can come over. Jim can still play. If you don't feel comfortable having Jim at your house without Aaron there because Jim's kind of creepy, that's something you should have discussed about compatibility prior. Like, Jim likes to talk about, I don't know, murking people all day long. It would have been nice to know. I mean, I wouldn't have much worry, as I am a well-armed individual, but not everyone can sit right next to a gun. But if I feel that I've got to have a gun to talk to Jim, there's an issue. So if they are someone, and they should be, that you feel you can welcome to your home without the buffer friend, that's a good sign. And you need to welcome them that, because you got to extend your hand forward. They are coming to somebody else's house that they don't know. They know Aaron. They don't know Jared. So you got to let them know that this is welcome to my house. You can come over without Aaron being here. You're my friend now. Can we be friends? Can we hang out on the playground together? You know, be childish about it, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, welcome them to that house. And this is something that everyone always forgets, because I've seen it so many times. Exchange phone numbers. Because if Aaron can't make it, and I want to invite Jim to come because Aaron's on a date, I want Jim to still come over. If I don't have his phone number, I'm scrambling now. Exchange the phone numbers, so lines of communication. If you've got an email group, exchange the email group. Let them know what time that it frequently is, you know, let them know that they're welcome to come over even without that friend, because they're part of the group now. And the group will continue to play even if Aaron can't make it, even if Brian can't make it, or they might need to be known that, like, hey, if we're missing two players, we don't play, and you know, instead we get together and watch movies. Invite them to the movie. Let them know they're part of the group now. You're part of the gang, and truly what you're creating is a bond of friendship, and hopefully it's a bond of friendship that lasts time, and you welcome another life into your life that only makes it more beautiful and brighter and more fun. And you know, that's the key to role-playing is creating friendships that last a long time.
Again, Jerry with the poetry. Couldn't say it anymore.
God damn it. I don't know why.
At the end of the episode, Jared has this enlightened moment every time where he's got the poetry to bring us out. I can't add another point on top of that one because it was very, very sweet, and it's a good way to end it.
Do something. We got to break this habit.
Nope. We're gonna just go do poetry. There'll be doves flying around if we ever record this, and it'll be a good time.
The nature of role playing is friendship, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing.
But so once again, you're listening to the Level Up Your Gaming Podcast. You can contact us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com. If you want an episode's topic, you can give us a suggestion for an episode, or you can give us feedback on an episode if you want your feedback read on the air. Or you can contact us and follow us at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. Otherwise, please subscribe, review, tell your friends, tell your other players your podcast. Maybe this one really would resonate with them because they've been the person who came into the story late. Either way, suggest it to somebody else who listens to podcasts, and we can keep growing this thing. So for Jared, I'm Aaron. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week, everyone.